One of the most beautiful pieces of poetry of all time in any language, but particularly in the Latin language, we just heard before the gospel in English this morning. St. Thomas Aquinas had been asked by the Pope to compose the office for today's feast, Corpus Christi, the feast of the body and blood of Christ. You know, there's something quite beautiful to think about how most of the prayers for today's solemnity were composed by a saint who also happens to be one of the most brilliant thinkers ever to have lived. Especially when we think about how we have no idea who composed most of the prayers that come down to us in the Mass. I'm a big fan of the author of the sequence today, St. Thomas Aquinas, who was so in love with our Lord that he spent his entire life just trying to figure out everything that he possibly could about God. And he wrote more than most people ever read in a lifetime, right? All trying to come into contact with the truth about the God that he loved so much. And then toward the end of his life, with a mystical encounter with the love of God, was able to say, "Everything that I have written is as straw," right? Well, let me tell you, that straw has a lot of value, right? And here we are 800 years later, still meditating on those beautiful texts of a saint who thought that what he had written about the Lord is absolutely nothing in comparison with the reality of who our Lord really is. Now, the longest and perhaps the most eloquent of these pieces that he wrote is the sequence, the Laudation. Now, you know, every once in a while, I like to give you a homework assignment. So if you've never spent time meditating on this text, then I would urge you to take one of the missals in the pew and just go into the Adoration Chapel one day and just spend time praying over it. Whether it's 5 minutes or whether it's 5 hours, who cares? But just let that sequence kind of become a part of your heart, of your soul and your prayer. Now, there are only 4 feasts in the liturgical calendar today that have these poetic sequences: Easter, Pentecost, Corpus Christi, and Our Lady of Sorrows. Now, there were hundreds of them in the Middle Ages, but St. Pius V dropped most all of them in 1570. They come from the Latin word sequentia, because the words sung after it were in Latin sequentia sancti evangelii, the continuation of the Holy Gospel, according to whomever was appointed for the day. Now, if you really want to understand what we as Catholics believe about the Blessed Sacrament, right, you know, you can certainly reference the Holy Scriptures, right? If you do not eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Those words, among so many words in the Sacred Scripture, resounds in Catholics' hearts so much that it's perfectly normal and natural for us to want to do everything we can to celebrate the Holy Eucharist and to receive Holy Communion. Think about how in 2,000 years of Catholic history, so many saints have died for the presence of our Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Right? These incredible feats of heroism where people would do anything that they could to safeguard and to protect the Blessed Sacrament, and even just to go to Mass. You know, sometimes we have Catholics who, you know, maybe bleeding out their eyeballs, right? And they're like, "But I gotta go to Mass. I gotta go to Mass," right? It's like, I think our Lord may understand that you might need to go to the hospital, and then we'll bring you Holy Communion there, right? There's something about Catholics in which where 2 or 3 Catholics are gathered, right? We remember those words, "This is my body, this is my blood," just by the fact of us Catholics being together, and we're like, hey, let's have Mass, right? There are all kinds of ways to worship God. There are many forms of the worship of God in the sacred liturgy, in extra-liturgical devotions, but Catholics are like, let's have Mass, right? Think about how in almost every Catholic church throughout the world, every day, the sacrifice of Calvary, the one sacrifice of Calvary, is renewed over and over again. So that with the exception of Good Friday, when we celebrate the bloody sacrifice of Calvary, at every single second of every single hour of every single day, Catholics are gathering around the altar of the Lord to celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And really, if you want to understand what we as Catholics believe about the Blessed Sacrament, then pay attention to how we worship, right? If we did not believe that the body and blood become, or excuse me, the bread and the wine become the body and blood of Christ, then very little that we do as Catholics make any sense at all, right? But once you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Now, the Church's theological tradition and spiritual devotion, rooted in the Holy Scriptures, reached an incredible high point in the Middle Ages. And texts from that period are unbelievably rich. The Laudation is long, but I'm not aware of a more beautiful lyrical presentation of the Catholic theology of the Eucharist than it. The last two parts of the sequence I find particularly arresting. Hail, bread of angels broken, for us pilgrims, food and token of the promise by Christ spoken. We cry out to the sacred host and greet it as if it were our Lord, because it is. Think about how when the priest elevates the sacred host, how so many people almost spontaneously it comes to their lips to say the same thing that St. Thomas said when he saw our risen Lord, my Lord and my God. We remember that not even the angels, higher than we are in the chain of being, cannot and do not receive the Eucharist, but minister to the risen and glorified Christ in heaven and are present at every celebration of the sacrifice of redemption. Think about the fact that all of the angels, the archangels, the cherubim and the seraphim, the nine choirs of angels, who are all in heaven, worshiping ceaselessly the presence of God, are jealous of us. They have a holy envy because we can receive that presence in a way that they can't. Now, there is a pretty controversial line in the Laudation. Children's meat to dogs denied. Now, I don't know what St. Thomas Aquinas was thinking other than the scriptural reference to the scraps from the table going to the dogs, right? In the Middle East, even today, if you call someone a dog, that is very much not a compliment, right? For many of us, particularly our dear Father Tomlinson, you know, dog is man's best friend, right? And we know that dogs will eat about anything, which is why I don't want one in the house at the rectory, so. But it's kind of a pretty controversial line. Children's meat to dogs denied. There is a sense in which only the baptized are, properly speaking, children of God and heirs to heaven. And so they only can receive the flesh of Christ, which is, our Lord himself says, true meat indeed. The kind that we can eat and be satisfied. St. Thomas here is not just saying that your pet pooch Fido can't receive Holy Communion, right? It is a commentary on the non-baptized. They are like beasts who forage around eating whatever they can find rather than being fed by a loving father. Now, this is a very not politically correct kind of line for St. Thomas Aquinas to say. I think many people may find themselves very offended by this, but I think it's important to really understand what he might be getting at, right? When we center our lives on the worship of God, when we receive that bread from heaven, right, then because we are worshiping the true God in spirit and in truth, right, then we don't have to go seeking after all of these other things which we think may nourish the soul, but don't. There's the food offered to idols. Now, you may be thinking about, you know, going to some kind of temple of a non-Christian religion and seeing gifts of vegetables or fruits or something and thinking that's what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about at all, right? Think about how we nourish the idols that we worship, right? How much time do you spend with the Bible, of allowing yourself to be nourished by the Word of God, in comparison with how much time you spend being outraged by what you're trolling on social media, right? The dogs go around eating whatever is there, whether it's nourishing or not, right? The Christian allows himself to be nourished at the table of God's Word and God's sacrament precisely because that is what truly satisfies. Jesus, shepherd, mild and meek, shield the poor, support the weak. Help all who thy pardon sue, placing all their trust in you. It's not by accident that in the Eucharist the Lord is compared to the good shepherd who is mild and meek. Our God does not become present to us by shock and awe, lightning and sound and fury. He comes in silence. The only thing to draw us to his presence, a little bell rung by an altar boy. He is the protector of the poor and the weak. We remember that in the Catholic Church, the Eucharist is the great equalizer. King and queen, pauper and penitent, all of us approach the altar rail the same way and receive the same gift. The communion rail is the only place in society where there ever has been or ever will be true equality. The radical sameness of the baptized children of God. And the more that we experience that fundamental equality in Christ, the more that we want to share the fruits of that gift with everything that we do in the world. Source of all we have or know, feed and lead us here below. When faith convicts us that the little white host that looks like such a paltry piece of bread is the Lord Jesus, then what do we do? What do we do? The only appropriate response is to kneel down and worship the same way that the wise men fell down on their faces to adore the Christ child. Francis Cardinal Lorenze, who is a very fearless African prelate, who is one of those incredible men who has no filter when he talks about certain things, right? I love him, he's great. But he said, if we understood what the Eucharist was, we would crawl to receive him. Right? He is the source of all we have and all we know. And when we possess him who first possessed us, we know that he can feed us and lead us on the way that we should go, which is straight to heaven. Grant that with your saints above, sitting at the feast of love, we may see you face to face. The Mass is not a Bible study with a free snack at the end. Okay? It is the feast of love, the wedding feast of the Lamb that we are invited to participate in because it is a foreshadowing and a foretaste of where we're going as Christians. The Eucharist is a foretaste of immortality. It is the portal to heaven, which St. Thomas describes so eloquently as this feast of love. Right now, in this world, we worship as through a glass darkly, behind the sacramental veils of bread and wine, under ritual forms. But one day, the last priest will sing the last Ite Missa Est at the last Mass, and what we worship under sign or symbol is going to fade away into the glorious reality of fulfilled glory. Now, as a priest, you know that I am very concerned and spend a lot of time and energy trying to make sure that we are all formed as well as possible to understand the sacred reality of the Eucharist. Right? You know, we are living through a time of tremendous irreverence and unbelief in the real presence. And even many Catholic churches have lost that sense of the sacred. Right? You know, sometimes I have people that, you know, they go to another church on vacation and they come back and say, "Father, that was the weirdest Mass I've ever seen in my life," right? And I'm like, "Okay, what happened?" And they say things and I'm like scratching my head like, "What on earth?" Right? And then to be fair, sometimes we have people who come here to church at Prince of Peace, right? And they're like, "That's the weirdest Mass I've ever seen in my life," right? Yeah. Because the desacralization of our worship has become so commonplace that sometimes people, when they see authentic Catholic worship lived in spirit and truth, then they don't even recognize it as their own religion anymore. That's terrifying. We also live in a time of tremendous violence and fear and discrimination and poverty and injustice. And sometimes it can be really overwhelming because we think to ourselves, what can I do about these things that we see in our own homes, our own workplaces, our own families? In our own country, across the world, that can affect us from one moment to the next. And as Catholics, what do? We come to Mass. Right? I want you to think about how this morning, as we come to celebrate Mass in relative security, right? We have our Catholic Christian brothers and sisters who are doing the same thing we're doing in Gaza, in Lagos, in Tehran, in Jerusalem, in Kiev, in Moscow, in so many places all over the world. When I was ordained a priest, I got a lovely little plaque that I think about sometimes, not all the time. I should probably think about it all the time. It says, "Priest of God, celebrate this Mass as if it were your first Mass and as if it were your last Mass." Right? Church, let's celebrate this Mass as if it were our first Mass and as if it were our last Mass. Never giving up on Jesus, never giving up on hope, never giving up on love, because the hope and love of Christ has never given up on us. I'm always encouraging us to know, love, and serve the mystery we receive, to never take it for granted, to become the love that we receive in the Eucharist. Right? And it's not just about coming to some kind of beautiful theatrical spectacle and then going home as if our lives have not been changed, right? It's about opening our hearts and minds to that true worship of God and taking the fruits of the sacrament of redemption and unleashing that gift on the entire world. Jesus comes to you. He places himself on your tongue and in your heart as helpless as a little baby because he wants you to love him. Love him not out of servile fear of damnation and pain, but out of thanksgiving and love. He gives himself to you today. And so the question that I'd like for you to ask yourself as you come up to the rail today, whether you receive Holy Communion or receive a blessing, is, have you given yourself over to him completely and totally?